This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey guys, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I am so excited to be here today with my guest, Nicole Townsend. She is going to tell me all about how God has moved and worked in her life. I cannot wait. And I want to tell you that we met on singing at church. Nicole, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Okay. So I used to call this thing the sing team, but now I call it the choir. What do you call it?
Yeah. I think it's the choir.
The choir? Has it always been the choir?
No. I think for a while it was like the praise team, the sing team.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad I'm not making things up.
No, you're not.
Okay. I thought I might just be really off making things up, but she has an absolutely beautiful voice. Maybe she'll tell us a little bit about her musical background whenever we are in our conversation today. But I am excited to serve with her and to sing with her. And now I get to talk to her.
Yay.
So I'm very excited. Thank you. I can't wait to hear your story. Let's get started. Will you tell us just about yourself? Tell us about your background. And then tell us maybe what, you know, when did faith become a part of your life?
Sure. So let's see. I am the daughter of a single mom. My mom had me when she was 19 years old.
Okay.
And I never met my dad. So it was just her and I against the world. Thankfully, she was one of six. So I had a lot of uncles and aunts, and my grandma was heavily involved in my life. So I never felt like I was missing out on anything. I was born in California, so I lived there up until first grade. And then after first grade, we moved to New Jersey. And we lived there for a year while I was in second grade. And then after that, my mom decided to move us to Australia for 6 months.
Fun.
Yeah. My grandma cashed in her 401k and she's like, I'm moving to Australia. Like,
wow.
Got some wild hair. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we moved out there and I loved it. I never wanted to leave. And my mom hated it.
Oh, yeah.
She was, you know, I guess as a foreigner and an adult, you have to have a job and you have to have a work visa and all
those
things.
Hard adulting things.
Right. Yeah. I was just going to school and loving it. And so eventually we wound up moving back to New Jersey and we settled in a small town in northern New Jersey. It's called Madison. It's like an hour from New York City. And my cousins were there and my grandpa and like, you know, we had a very good family unit there. And I just fell right into the school system and we wound up living there up until eighth grade. And then my mom got a wild hair and was like, let's move back to California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was not happy about it. You know, California was significantly different than what
New
I grew
Jersey,
up in New Jersey.
Right. Yeah.
So I cried literally every single day. I was like, this is not for me. And so then eventually we wound up moving back to New Jersey and I finished out high school through there.
Oh, so you went to California, cried every single day.
Yes.
And then moved back. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah. I think it lasted maybe 6 months, five, uh-huh. 6 months. Yeah. And my mom was like, okay, I think we need to move back. You're obviously not happy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we moved back and we wound up staying until I graduated and that was the best thing ever.
Okay.
So then after that, we moved to Florida. I wasn't ready. I graduated high school when I was 17.
Okay.
So, you know, I was very young and I wasn't ready to be on my own yet. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And so my mom's like, well, I'm moving to Florida. You can come with me or you can figure it out. And I was like, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
And by that point, a lot of my family had already moved to like the Tampa Bay area. So I went down there and then started taking like community college classes and just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And growing up, I had always sang and performed in musicals. And so I was like, I want to be on Broadway. That's, you know, what my destiny
is. Your goal.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I wound up auditioning, ironically, for a school in New York City when I just left New Jersey.
Yeah.
And so I got in.
Wow.
And so right before I was supposed to leave, I left in October of 2011. In July of 2011, I met my now husband, who's active duty military. He's in the Air Force. And he had gotten orders to deploy for 6 months. So I was like, well, I'm going to go to school. You deploy and we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
So we stayed together. It was long distance for the first year. But then once he came home, he started flying me down every weekend. And It was just real, really hard. Yeah. And I kind of was like, I felt this tug. I was like, I need to kind of figure out what direction I want to go into. Do I want to pursue this career or do I want to pursue this love? Because like, this is like unlike anything I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately I decided to choose him because I was like, all of this, whatever happens with Broadway and whatnot, wouldn't be anything without him. So I chose him and moved to Tampa where he was stationed, and we've been traveling the world together.
I was going to say, and then you ended up living the military life.
Exactly. Okay. I became a military spouse and
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. So, man, I already have a ton of questions I could ask you, but I don't want to derail the conversation. Sure. So I'll start with just, was faith a part of your childhood? And tell us a little bit about that. Like, what was the vein in your life with regards to God?
Absolutely. So it's strange because I never actually really had a day where I didn't know God. I came into the world knowing who God was, and my mom was a very big proponent of that. She taught me at a very young age, and I think more so to protect herself initially, but she never wanted to feel like I was missing out on something, or that she never wanted me to resent her for the life that we had where I didn't have a father. And so she would always be like, you chose this life, you were up in heaven with God and you were looking down and you chose me to be your mom, and you knew what life would look like with me and without having a dad. You know, she instilled that responsibility in me from a very young age. And even like, she tells me stories about how when she would give me bubble baths as a kid, she'd be like, do you love this bubble bath? And I'm like, they're not like the bubble baths in heaven.
Oh,
she's like,
cute.
What are you talking about? She's like, did the angels give you bubble baths? And I was like, not the angels, God. Like, are you serious? And I was like, the bubbles are so big and they last forever. And, you know, I just had like these
she
stories.
She gave you this kind of image in your mind, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I just knew he was in everything for me growing up. And it wasn't that, you know, she would take me to church and she baptized me and she was raised Catholic. And so she would take me to Catholic church, and I would always ask her, I'd be like, why is the priest so angry?
Oh,
and she's like, Nicole, shh. You know, we're in the front row. And I'm like, what's wrong with him?
Right.
And so then she started to kind of see the flaws in that religious aspect. And so she kind of took a step back, but she still instilled God in my life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she was just taught me from a very young age that he was with me and that I was responsible for, you know, my life.
Yeah.
Through him.
So I'm curious, whenever you were moving to California, moving to Australia, like even moving to Florida, was God part of the conversation?
For sure. Definitely.
Really?
And everywhere we went, we would find a church and I would sing in the church, or I'd find a way to connect, because that's just a perfect way to meet people, I feel like.
Uh-huh.
And my grandma was also very heavily involved in church. She ultimately wound up becoming like working at a convent and doing bookkeeping for a convent and stuff. And so they were all just heavily involved. It wasn't that we were reading the Bible every day. It wasn't that I knew scripture like the back of my hand, but I just knew the presence of God was there.
Right. Yeah. So you were never questioning whether or not God was for you, whether or not he was with you.
Right.
And that was just a truth that was instilled early on.
Exactly.
Great. So it seems like all through life, and especially growing up with a single mom, which I think is really interesting that she had this perspective of, I don't want you to resent your life or feel like you didn't get the fullness of life by not knowing your dad. And so therefore it's almost like
you have a father. Yeah.
Really? That's, did she say that?
No.
Oh, but it was like that.
But it was like that. Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You finished my
exactly.
sentence, because I was just thinking, like, I wonder if it was where she was like, you have a father,
right.
You know? And I think that that's a great message for a lot of people who don't know their father or haven't had a close relationship with their father. And then also sometimes people who do know their father, but it's a really tattered relationship or a painful one. And just really having a very foundational understanding that you do have a trustworthy father who is for you, who is with you, and who you can trust is very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
Do you think that that contributed to your confidence as a young woman?
I would say so. Yeah. I never felt like, and I mean, too, I had uncles and I had male people to look up to, you know, of like examples of what a good man looks like.
And,
but I think knowing that she could accomplish everything she's accomplished as a single mom, like that just opened the doors wide open for me.
Because like you could do anything.
Yeah. And I mean, because she was a teen mom and, you know, she started out at her job in the mailroom.
Right.
And now she's like running things and making six figures, and she never got a college degree and she never did anything, but she just worked hard and persevered. And you know?
Yeah, that's really neat. So whenever you were in that juncture with the music career and like envisioning that Broadway was your goal and then getting into the school in New York, were you praying to God during that time? Is that some time that you were like, this is it? Or did you just feel like this is what I'm meant to do and so you're pursuing it?
Yeah, I always felt, I mean, music is just a way that I feel closest to God. It's definitely my like way of worshiping, you know. I listen to worship music 24/7 pretty much. And so I always just felt this pull towards it. I would pray a lot about where I'm supposed to be. God, like, lead me. If this is your will, then, you know, please lead me there. I trust you. I trust the plan you have for me. And I could, I saw my life in two different directions. It was quite literally a fork in the road. And I was like, I could see myself going here and I could see myself going there. And I don't know that I necessarily would have enjoyed life as a performer.
Right.
Looking back now.
Yeah.
I think that scene especially is so far removed from God, and that's just not what aligns with me or my heart. So I definitely feel like he saved me by putting my husband in my life when he did, you know?
Yeah.
Because I can't even imagine what kind of trouble I would have gotten into in New York at 19.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, so what about your husband? Like you said, you met your now husband, you became a military wife, you traveled the country.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of life lived in the in that short statement there. So I'm kind of curious about just that journey.
Sure.
And your husband understanding your understanding of God, you know, joining together in that. So do you have anything you want to share about that part of your life?
Yeah. So we had both of our children in Japan. We were stationed overseas.
Okay.
So we had our son Everett in 2020 or 2017. And then we had our daughter like 13 months later in 2018. And that was a really hard time, I would say, because I left work and I was a stay-at-home mom. And he had started a new career and he was working all the time. And so, you know, here we are overseas, totally isolated.
That's
now
hard.
I have two children and he's gone all the time. And
that is super hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hard. And then we're still kind of kids ourselves, you know?
Yeah. You're like, what am I doing?
Yeah, exactly. And now I have no support. And of course you meet friends and they become like family and stuff. But it was definitely a really trying time in our marriage and just our lives in general. And so when we got back to the States, we got back right before COVID kicked off. We came back to America in February 2020, and we got orders to Ohio because my husband's father, we found out, had a terminal cancer. And so they did like what's called a humanitarian PCS, where they move you close to wherever your family member
you
is.
Need to be.
And so they did that, and his father wound up passing away like a month later.
Oh my goodness.
So praise God that we got there, you know, in time to
beforehand.
Be able to see him.
Yeah.
And so we ultimately wound up, the plan was for him and his mom and his dad to move in with us, while his father went through treatment and various things. But with his sooner passing, that we were like, please, to his mom, just come live with us, take care of the babies. I'll go back to work, because I was itching to get back to work.
Yeah.
And then she just moved in and she's never left. I mean, we love having her.
I love that.
It's the best thing in the world. Yeah. And she said the kids have saved her. And, you know,
it's beautiful for her and for you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I would say there in Ohio is where like we really just healed. And the presence of God just showed up in so many various ways of, you know, as sad as it was that his dad passed, it brought so many, like all of us together, you know? And so I think that was like the biggest turning point, where it was like to see almost like Hallelujah in the heartbreak, you know, like it was a heartbreaking situation, but
it was redeemed for joy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you have this kind of spiritual refreshing, awakening, something is going on when you're in Ohio.
Yeah. We joined a new church. Once the COVID restrictions were lifted and we could go to church, we found a great church and the kids loved it and we loved it. And my husband and I actually found out about it through someone that we were like going to the gym with doing CrossFit. And he was a pastor there. And so he's like, come check it out. And so we went and checked it out. And we were like, oh, this place is awesome. And he actually is the one who wound up baptizing us.
Oh, so cool.
As adults, like my husband had never been baptized. I was baptized as a baby, but Catholic. And so as adults, we were like, we want to make this choice for ourselves and we want to show our children and, you know, be an example. And so we got baptized there and he baptized us. And it was really cool just to have that freedom as an adult.
Yeah. To make that choice and showcase that. Yeah. Wow. And what I also think is amazing is the fact that you and he were like on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Like, I feel like him and I are great communicators. Like, we can literally talk about anything. But I feel like in moments like that, like, you know, sometimes the nature is to split apart and like drift apart almost. But we lean on each other more and we like get closer in those moments for sure. And all through God, because...
Right. Well, I was going to say, I think that when God is working and he's like doing something on earth and in our midst, there is unity of spirit.
Right.
And it seems like, and that's why I didn't want to brush over that idea of like, oh yeah, my husband and I went and we had this great time and we got baptized. I'm like, whoa, hold on. <Yes. laughs> Because the reality is that so many marriage relationships really struggle with this. Sure. Like they really struggle with not being on the same page spiritually, not finding the same church to be the right appealing church. I mean, just whatever the case is,
right.
How you raise the kids in the faith. I mean, all of that is stuff that are difficult to behind the scenes decisions of families, particularly if one person is really experiencing a transformation that is spiritual and that is coming from their relationship with God, and then the other person isn't, you know? Right. And so I really want to just put an exclamation point on the fact that you and your husband were actually journeying together.
Yeah.
And it, not everybody has that experience, but I think that it probably fortified your faith to see him also experiencing that alongside of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially after such a hard time where he lost his dad, you know, where a lot of people tend to turn away from the faith. He definitely leaned more into it and was like, okay, God, I see what you're doing. I see what you've exposed, you know? And
yeah. Yeah.
He ran with it.
So. Right. So what did that look like for you? So from that point, like you said that you felt like that was a turning point for you. What did that look like differently for you on a daily basis or like just in general in your life? Or did anything change about the way you conduct your life or what quote unquote relationship with God is? I mean, explain that to us. Put some like flesh on that story.
I think that, you know, prior to I had such a heaviness on my heart and I just felt almost like a shell of a person. And then once I let like the joy of the Lord into my heart, like it was incredible. Just the weight that was lifted off my shoulders. And I was like, I can literally do anything with him on my side, you know, and him in my heart. And I, ever since then, literally my daily prayer is like, please God, I pray that you let people see the light of you through me.
Yeah. Well, I know they do. I know they do, because I've seen it. I mean, we have barely even, we've shared just briefly with one another here and there until today. And I was very quick to be like, please come on the podcast. Cause you could just tell, when you meet people.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But, it's the joy of the Lord I saw through you. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you pray that because I was sometimes when I especially people that I don't know very well, but I kind of have just like a vibe from, you know, I try to kind of identify what is that thing? Yeah. What is that thing about that person, you know? And for you, I would say that it's this sense of like joyous peace. That's how I would describe it with barely knowing you. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now you're telling me that this is your daily prayer. And I'm like, wow, that is so cool. I mean, that is really cool because honestly, if you had asked me before you told me your daily prayer, that would have been my answer.
That's so cool.
So yeah, that is really neat. So it sounds like it became this, gosh, I mean, actually you described a lot of things there where there was this lifting of a burden. You said that you were a shell of a person and now you felt like you were filled.
Yeah.
And you were, so I think that actually really accentuates the fact that knowing of God is really different from being in a trustworthy relationship with God.
Right. Yeah, very true. Because I always knew him, but I wouldn't necessarily say that I walked with him daily. And then once I, you know, came to accept him and really just like lean on him and know him and accept him into my heart, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, fully transformed.
That's so amazing. It reminds me of how the Bible also says that even the demons believe, you know?
Right.
And so, but who is it that's going to take up your cross and follow him?
Yeah.
And that's really the followers of Jesus, the Christians, right?
Yeah.
Christ followers are those that say, okay, I'm going to, like, it's not just for my own benefit.
Yeah.
Right? It's because I'm compelled to serve you, to be with you. So therefore, I'm going to walk in your path.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that your story is accentuating the fact that when you came to that pivotal moment in your life of truly accepting him into your life where he's governing things in your life, then suddenly you were fulfilled. You had a sense of deliverance from that heaviness that you were carrying. You're walking in joy on a daily basis. And how cool that your husband was like,
right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Cool. So very cool. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about your career because I think it's just interesting. But do you have something else you want to talk about before we go with that?
I will just say too that as we've grown, my husband and I, in our faith, we've continued to raise our kids that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I never experienced life without God, but like I never really thought that I had a pivotal moment, but I guess now talking to you,
I actually did. Yes.
Because I would always, that was something I struggled with. I was like, I never really had like a crazy moment. Like, am I less of a Christian because of it?
You just told me you're crazy. But I just told you.
So that makes sense.
Okay, podcast listeners, you heard it first from Nicole. She just realized it too.
That's so funny. But yeah, we wanted our children to never, you know a day without God either. Mm-hmm. And so from the very beginning, we've always been very open about God, reading the word. And our son Everett got baptized on February 15th, a couple weeks ago.
Aww.
Yeah, here at BCC. So yeah. It was really cool. He's been ready for a while and he knows the Bible like nobody's business. He said he wants to be a missionary when he grows up, and
goodness.
He uses allowance money to buy Bibles. And like one of his friends he was playing with outside, and he came inside and he's like, I'm never playing with him again. And I was like, what happened? And he said that his friend told him that he was an atheist. And I was like, well, that doesn't mean you don't ever have to play with him again.
Yeah,
you know, maybe you can just show him the joy of the Lord and tell him about God. Give him one of the Bibles that you have, you know, start there. I was like, that doesn't mean like don't write him off completely. Maybe he needs a friend like you to show him.
Right.
He was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing. So let's talk about your job, if you're okay with that.
Absolutely.
Just because I think it's interesting. Do you want to tell people what you do?
Yes. So my official title is an investigative analyst. I work for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C., in the Superior Court in major crimes. So D.C. specific, any crimes that are considered major, felonies.
So watch like out, that. Criminals. She's
behind the scenes.
She's behind the scenes. Oh, wow. how did you get into this type of work?
Oh my goodness. Well, when we moved to Ohio, and I got back into like real work, and after being a stay-at-home mom for 3 years in Japan, I got a temp job doing anti-money laundering things at a bank.
Yeah.
And it was just like a bunch of data entry, really. It was like filing, it's called CTRs, their currency transaction reports. So any cash that's handled over $10,000, you have to file like a form to FinCEN.
Uh-huh.
So I was just doing that, teleworking, just trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And then from there, I worked there all while we were in Ohio. And then when we moved here to Virginia, I got a job at Morgan Stanley doing global financial crime investigations.
Okay.
So very similar in like the financial crime, and I loved it. And so I wound up getting my CAMS, which is a certified anti-money laundering specialist. And then I loved the job itself, but the work environment was very toxic. It was not a great place to work at all. So like 6 months in, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get out of here. 2 years later, I finally got out. And so I had seen an opening. I was like, well, my husband's military. Like, I should get in with the government. It'll be easier to move around and change careers if we ever have to move again. And so I saw an opening and I applied for it and I got it. And I kind of had imposter syndrome. And I was like, I don't even have my degree. Like, I have my associates, but like, I don't have my bachelor's. And what do they see in me? And, you know, all the things.
And then I bet you're rocking it.
I mean, you're. I won't sugarcoat
it. I love that. Listen up, ladies. That's what confidence sounds like. I love that.
But I love it so much. Like, it truly is. And it's crazy how, again, God was working in my life way back when I had no idea, and all the different, you know, jobs I've had in the past, even as a teenager, come into play with.
Well, I was going to say that, and I don't know if you know this about me, but I do a lot of work for I lead a ministry called Working Women Honor God, and I do a lot of work with women in the workplace. But really just in general, like most of my ministry focuses on women of faith in the workplace, but just in general, workplace for me is such an incredible place where God is leading and positioning his people to do good work on earth, to redeem broken things.
Yeah.
And so I'm so inquisitive about career people, especially when they're people of faith, because I just am so interested to know, how did God lead you to that? And what puzzle pieces did he put together to make that happen? Because I believe that our day-to-day work is a way that we exercise like redemption on earth. I mean, literally we're God's hands and feet, and we're not only his hands and feet in an evangelical way.
Right.
Like we're his hands and feet in bringing goodness and his glory to earth in the midst of darkness. We shine light, and we do that in the workplace. We do that through excellence in our jobs. So thank you for rocking it in your job. And we also do that by bringing truth into darkness. And you do that through your job. I mean, you're literally working on major crimes. Think about the darkness that you're looking at, and the fact that you're in a position to bring truth into that space,
right?
You know, and praise God,
praise God,
you know, so if anybody's out there listening and you're just like, I don't really think God's involved in my work. False.
Yeah.
Not true. God is involved in your work. I don't care if you're bagging groceries or if you are behind a desk in an all remote job, never seeing a human being in your life, or if you are investigating crime to make sure that the truth is told. I mean, whatever you're doing, God is, if you are following him and you're believing him, and you're obeying him in your day-to-day work, he is working through you in your vocation. So I get so worked up, but that's why I wanted to talk about your job, because I think it sounds super interesting. And I love the fact that you've got this peaceful joy that I was talking about while working in major crimes. Are you kidding me?
It's wild. People actually do come up to me and they're like, you're such a light. Like, you're so positive all the time and you're so nice and sweet. Like, that's so uncommon here in this work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's the joy of the Lord. I'm meant to be here.
I love that story so much. Okay, this has been super fun. I would love to know, just based on everything you've shared with us today, you know, we have people that listen actually from all over the world. I haven't looked this week, but I think we are in like 22 countries.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And of course, all over the US as well. But I always am trying to think about that person who might be listening, who just isn't quite sure about God, or that maybe is struggling in their own faith. And I'm wondering, before we close out today, if you have any advice that you would like to give to that person based on your personal relationship with God.
Sure. I would say, kind of similar to what I said earlier, just like praise in the heartbreak, even though it sucks and it's hard now and it might not feel like he's with you. I promise you he is. Mm. He's literally in every single step that you take and every single thing that you do. And there is a plan, but you also have to do your part and do the work too, to meet him, you know?
Yeah.
But I would just say, like, he is there and he's present, and the joy and the light and the love that you feel when you let him in, like, it's unlike anything I've ever experienced.
That's what we're all looking for, right?
Right.
I love that. Thank you, Nicole. This has been such a fun conversation.
Thank you.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.